Breaking news today on Seculo. Our FOIA uncovers a massive lie by the Biden-Harris administration.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Now, you know, folks, for years, the Biden-Harris administration has gotten questions about the border. And they've gotten the question, basically, is there a crisis going on at the southern border? And one time, Joe Biden slipped up, used that term, but then Vice President Harris immediately came in and said it's not a border crisis, it's a climate crisis that's causing these issues. And they never want to use those terms. They never want to get stuck to the word crisis specifically. So we filed a FOIA. Now, this FOIA was filed, if we put it up on the screen, I mean, it was shocking even this morning we were going through this today when you look at when this was filed. April 7th, 2021, filed by the American Center for Law and Justice. So when we say we dedicate to these issues and we commit to these issues, this is a great example of that. So this is April 7th, 2021. And we're asking about Secretary Mayorkas, specifically his testimony that the migrant surges at the southern border are challenges but not a crisis for the administration. And then we found out eventually by going to court. So this is, again, through a FOIA, then going to court to get them to actually respond. So it's DHS within U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the migrant crisis team, which was sending daily reports to the administration. We know at least through 2022. Now, we don't know if this was created by the Trump administration, if this was just part of DHS. I mean, this could go back even further to when Department of Homeland Security was created by the Bush administration. So it could go back, you know, to the early 2000s when the Department of Homeland Security was created after the September 11th attacks. And so we've gotten used to these kind of terms and used to these departments. And remember, these were mostly agencies that were in the Department of Justice, and it was a way to separate out because they said there's too much under DOJ, too much responsibility to also, you know, control ICE, control immigration. With these issues of terrorism, we need a separate agency. And so there was this transfer. But we know, and I will play it for you when we come back from the break because, Will, it's actually too long to play right now, the amount of times this administration push back. Like we said, other than the one time Joe Biden, you know, accidentally slipped and used the term crisis, for Vice President Harris, she was the border czar who went out and said it's not a crisis, even though they're getting daily crisis. I mean, they're getting daily reports from a migrant crisis team, and this is uncovered because the ACLJ stuck with this for 3 years.
That's right, and it, as many times when you get something out of a FOIA, a lot of times it offers more questions than answers. But what we know now is that the narrative of, oh, maybe they're just incompetent on the border, not just lying to us. No, we know that's false. They were lying to the American people when it came to whether or not this was a crisis, so much so that the Migration Crisis Action Team continued to send daily reports well into 2022. So what we now need to go through is, one, this was a 420-page document production from DHS on this issue. We should be getting another document production this month. It's a monthly production, so we're going to keep looking. But the redactions there don't answer questions like, how serious were they taking this? It's a migration crisis action team. What kind of actions were being taken? What failed policies were being implemented? And those are the questions that now that we at least know this existed, we have to fight for. We have to fight to get redactions taken away. We have to fight to find out the truth about this disaster that was perpetuated on the American people by the Biden-Harris administration.
We know the Biden-Harris administration lies continue to be revealed. For years, they've claimed there's no crisis at our southern border. And our FOIA lawsuit, again, 3 years, they had an entire migration crisis team. Who was getting these reports in the White House? Was it getting to Vice President Harris that she was the border czar? And again, that push not to use the terminology. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
All right, so if you're just joining us, I want to just walk you through this. So the ACLJ filed back in 2021, April 7th. We can put it up on the screen so people can see. This was the FOIA filed with the Department of Homeland Security, CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, and it went specifically to the testimony of Secretary Mayorkas, who continued to appear before Congress and say there was not a crisis at the southern border specifically, but would use terms like, you know, there's issues that we're facing, there's difficulties, but not specifically a crisis. And we, again, uncovered that within the Department of Homeland Security, within CBP, there was a U.S. Customs and Border Protection Migration Crisis Team. Now, who's on the team? We still want to uncover. Because pages of who was actually receiving these reports each day, a daily report from their migration crisis team, who was receiving these reports, Will, completely redacted. Pages of redactions on who got these reports. So we don't know. Was Vice President Harris, because she was named the border czar, was someone at least on her team getting these reports? Because remember, they would not, if they were before Congress, they would, there was one time Joe Biden slipped up and Harris immediately came out and said, no, it's an immigration, it's a crisis with the climate. It's not an immigration crisis. It's, you know, the climate issues are causing the people to come to the border, not a crisis on immigration. And then that was because Joe Biden had slipped up. But we got pages of redacted email. I mean, we don't know yet who was getting these reports, but what we do know is that through 2022, they were getting them daily.
That's right. And many times in a FOIA drop of pages, you'll get the email addresses redacted because they're not wanting to just hand out this information to maybe bog down the email addresses or things of that nature. But typically the names aren't redacted. This is two full pages, normal 8.5 by 11 size sheets of paper with email recipients. The entire blocks are blocked out for two full pages. So we don't know who's receiving this. We don't know how high up it goes. But what we do know now is that when Mayorkas and others were saying things like, this is a challenge, not a crisis, they had daily reports coming from the Department of Homeland Security's Custom and Border Protection Migration Crisis Action Team. And I think we should play kind of a supercut that our team put together.
Yeah, this is the administration. Again, how many times they refuse to use the term crisis, where the media was just, you know, this is what I liked about the Trump administration. These were not like the issues you dealt with, right? There was no playing around on words. If something was a crisis, it'd be a crisis. If it was an issue you got to deal with, it's an issue you got to deal with. If you need to build the wall, you build the wall. You're not afraid of this terminology. But on the left, it's like you can't say illegal alien. You can't say illegal immigrant. Oh, those are not terms. Those terms. We're going to talk with Secretary Pompeo later in the broadcast. The idea redefining terms was the entire DNC. Just to remind you, and this idea of freedom, meaning more government control of what is actually consumed and what is not. But listen to the Biden administration officials going back to the days of Jen Psaki, because we know again that this has at least existed through 2022. We don't even get the response until 2024. We file in 2021. I am guessing this was never shut down, and this is likely still issuing some kind of daily report. Whether or not they changed the name, maybe they took out the word crisis because they knew this would ultimately get released. They know this is a huge issue on the campaign trail. But just listen for how these last 4 years, this administration has gaslighted you and the American people on the terminology. And not, again, this idea that it's not a crisis. Take a listen. Watch.
Now to the ongoing crisis down at the southern border.
Do you view what's happening right now on the border as a crisis?
I view it as a significant challenge.
There's no question that this is a challenging situation.
We were left with a very challenging situation. And, I mean, again, we were presented when we came in with some serious challenges. So,
children presenting at our border who are fleeing violence, who are fleeing prosecution, who are fleeing terrible situations is not a crisis.
Do you believe that right now there's a crisis at the border?
I think that the answer is no.
Why won't you say the word crisis?
You know what? Because I have tremendous faith in the people of the Department of Homeland Security. And a crisis speaks to me of a withdrawal.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
Is there a crisis at our southern border?
Senator, there is a very significant...
That's a yes or no question.
There's a very significant...
Is there a crisis?
There is a very significant challenge that we are facing.
Yes or no, is there a crisis?
I believe I've addressed that question.
So you're refusing to answer?
Senator, there is a very significant challenge.
I see an extraordinary crisis. I mean, do you recognize this as an alarming crisis?
Senator, I look at immigration as a challenge that has been persistent.
Do you plan to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
Okay. Even Mitt Romney, in that the great clips, this idea, again, that when Ted Cruz was asking Mayorkas, who has still survived in this administration, the idea of this is a crisis. No, it's not a crisis. It's a challenge. It's a significant challenge that we face. What was the idea, again, on the left, refusing to acknowledge the problems. And when you refuse to acknowledge the problems, when you don't acknowledge problems, you can't fix the problems. So when you can't call it out for what it is, call it the crisis that you need to deal with. This is the problem on the left. This idea of we're just going to ignore this. We're gonna blame it on climate. We're gonna blame it on the Trump administration. And as we can play, later in the broadcast, it's now Harris going up for running for president. We're going to start taking credit for building walls.
That's right. And that's why we need to point this out right now, because it is in the middle of an election season. And the leading candidate for the Democrats right now, Kamala Harris, has kind of flip-flopped on that. There was the Axios report that she plans on spending hundreds of millions of dollars on border walls. They're showcasing the border wall in ads trying to say that she's been tough on the border, when this is her administration, when she was tasked with getting to the bottom of the root causes with the Northern Triangle, they wouldn't call it for what it is. And I think really, and we'll talk a little bit about this with Mike Pompeo in the next segment, the birth of the Democrats renaming words, reclassifying the meaning of words, has been dangerous. It started, I think, here. But now you saw the way they reclassified and redefined what freedom is and things of that nature, what abortion is at the DNC. I think it started really here. And the clip that sticks out to me, one of the most, is when Jen Psaki tries to say children presenting at the border fleeing violence, and she said prosecution. I think she meant persecution, because I think that would not play into their narrative. If they're fleeing from prosecution, then we probably don't want charged criminals that are presenting at the border. But she says that is not a crisis. And once again, it can still be a crisis, even if you have a humanitarian bone in your body that wants to help that. Even if you think we want to help children that are fleeing violence, you can still call it a crisis when it's out of control and you can't process the amount of people that are coming through and you have to send them all over the country, leading to what we're seeing in Colorado, where Venezuelan gangs are taking over apartment complexes.
To confirm.
Yes.
You know, like the news has got it. You can see it for yourself, but yet the media days to confirm. And finally, I think it was the administration and then some Colorado officials. Well, and it was big news today. They confirm, oh, yes, it was we all could see the Venezuelan gang taking over. It's not like people are making this up to be nasty. They're not making this up to be mean. But we know that this administration, the lies continue to be revealed. For years, they've claimed there's no crisis at our southern border. This three-year-long lawsuit by the ACLJ reveals they knew all along that there is. They have an entire migration crisis team providing daily reports on just how bad the situation is. Thanks to you and your support, we're able to expose this egregious deception. Our FOIA lawsuit uncovered just already 420 pages of these daily reports, which were widely distributed within the agency. And there's more to come. We know we're going to get more from Customs and Border Patrol. We'll be back in federal court just 10 days in this critical case against the Biden-Harris deep state. And we expect our next document production later this month. We will get to the truth, take action with us, and sign and share our petition to end the Biden-Harris humanitarian crisis and protect our borders at aclj.org/sign. We have just 10 days until we're back in court on this case. Our team will be working day and night. Please help support us as we prepare for this fight. We can also encourage you to become an ACLJ champion at aclj.org. Those are donors who have decided a monthly amount to give automatically at aclj.org/champions. And they are the backbone of the work that we do. And as you see, the commitment to this work, years long to uncover the truth. We'll be right back on Seculum.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Seculo. Joining us now, Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a senior counsel for global affairs with us at the ACLJ. I want to get right into this, Secretary Pompeo. We talked about it earlier in the week, but the former deputy chief of staff to the New York governor, Kathy Hochul, was arrested this week, and you think it would be a bigger story in the news, on charges of being a Chinese agent, the deputy chief of staff. Knowing what you know about the Chinese Communist Party's operations in the U.S., is it of little surprise that this is happening inside, you know, major state governments like New York?
Jordan, I am completely unsurprised at the Chinese Communist Party's effort to do exactly this. In fact, I spoke to the National Governors Association about this back in early 2020. They were all here in Washington, D.C. on a Saturday afternoon, and I shared with them the Chinese Communist Party's efforts to infiltrate their organizations. I must say, the chairman of the NGA at that time, the Democrat chairman, was Governor Cuomo. They kind of laughed and didn't pay attention, and you can see the results. So while I am not surprised that the Chinese are trying, I am surprised at the laxness of the New York State authorities and permitting this woman to be there for so many years. I mean, she denied a company the chance to meet with the governor. She was working actively, taking money, and somehow New York law enforcement, the New York governor's team, both Governor Cuomo and now Governor Hochul, failed to identify this woman as an espionage agent of the Chinese Communist Party. This is devastatingly bad for the people of New York and for America. And I must say to everyone listening out there, this is happening in every community all across America. These efforts are real, and we need to take seriously this threat. The Chinese are trying to steal us blind, and we can push back. We simply can't just say, oh my gosh, we're not going to do that because we don't want to be accused of being any Chinese. These are communists trying to infiltrate our government. And in this case, they did, to the great harm of the United States of America.
15 years making their way up to a deputy chief of staff in one of the largest states and most influential states in the country. You've spoken on this broadcast many times, Secretary Pompeo, about the influence of the CCP in the country. A lot of times we focused on the Confucius Institutes, on the college campuses, embedding themselves politicians, whether they're drivers for U.S. senators, aides to U.S. senators, deputy chiefs of staffs to New York governor. I mean, and you said you're making that speech in 2020 up to the governors, and they're kind of shrugging their shoulders. Do you think the Biden-Harris administration has done anything, I mean, to push back the idea that these people can survive for 15 years without, you know, without people raising an eyebrow? And you know, it's hard probably for most people who are listening right now to imagine how this happens.
Jordan, the Biden administration took as one of their first actions to disband what we'd called the China Initiative. It was inside the Department of Justice created during the Trump administration, where we had big teams working to address exactly this problem. And, you know, sometimes, Jordan, people say, oh my gosh, what are they even talking about? They are trying to shape government. They're trying to influence everybody. They are threatening and coercing. I think, Jordan, you and I have spoken on the show about the fact that they're running police stations, Chinese police stations, inside our country. This is a broad, at-scale effort to shape the minds of our children through social media, to work inside of private businesses, to reach the most senior levels of one of the biggest states and most important commercial financial states in the United States of America, to shape our policies to benefit the Chinese Communist Party and to harm the American people. We've got to take this seriously. Kamala Harris won't. I can promise you that. She'll just let this all go by and just say, what me worry, like we all have seen so far. This is a real risk. We need serious leaders to confront this. President Trump did for 4 years. We have to get back to that. It's not political. This is about protecting the things that matter most to every American family.
You know, this is not like a partisan issue at all. It shouldn't be a partisan issue at all. If they've infiltrated a Republican administration, a Democrat administration for that many years inside state government, making their, you know, right on the way up. She didn't start off as deputy chief of staff, but spending 15 years to get to that level before people realized what this was all about and who she was being backed from. You've talked about a lot on this show. We know when you were Secretary of State, you shut down the consulate in Houston. We know that the consulate in New York was the connection point for this individual. How big of a problem are the consulates? I mean, this is something that I don't think people pay as much attention to. And I don't expect everybody to pay attention to it in everyday life, but these consulates right. That are all around the United States, and how big of a problem are they?
No, that's right. Chicago, San Francisco, L.A., Seattle, Houston had one, New York, Washington, D.C. Chinese diplomats who are operating essentially as espionage agents. I hope that the Biden administration, now seeing that this operation that she was receiving funding from, this U.S. citizen working for the state of New York at the highest levels, I hope they shut down the consulate in New York or take some similar action. There has to be a cost imposed on this. It can't just be going after her. That won't deter the Chinese at all. You have to convince the Chinese Communist Party to stop this madness and tell them they can't do this operating inside of our country, inside our own nation. And, you know, it's sometimes hard for people to think their way through, but it's not even just state government. They're working city councils, county commissions, school boards. This is not about American Chinese ethnicity. I have many American Chinese friends. There are amazing patriots. My two senior advisors were Chinese on China issues at the State Department, were of Chinese ethnicity. This is about active agents, spies inside of our country. And we haven't had this challenge since the Soviet Union. It is time to confront it. And I wish the Biden administration would do more. I doubt that they will, or that a President Harris would even think her way through how to address this problem.
It's what you said. It's communists infiltrating our government. And they happen. These happen to be Chinese communists. It's not some anti-Chinese America. It's not about Chinese people. It's Chinese communists, and this is the Communist Party that is infiltrating now. You've got a new piece up at ACLJ.org titled "The Left's Dangerous Attempt to Redefine Freedom." We saw it at the DNC. Their use of the word freedom was center stage. We've talked about it here. Kind of seemed like it was a page out of the Chinese playbook. This idea of how we'll define freedom for the people was a lot of government control over what is and what is not, allowed under their definition of freedom.
You know, Jordan, the ACLJ has done amazing work for decades. You, your father, the entire organization, protecting real American freedoms, the things we care about, the ability to raise our families the way we want, to raise our children, to practice our faith in the way we want, to all the things that, to speak openly, the First Amendment rights, to carry firearms, all the things that we know is the traditional important freedoms that our founders created for us. When Vice President Harris talks about freedom, she says, this is the freedom for government to impose price controls. This is the freedom to abort babies all the way up and through near the moment of birth. That's not real freedom. They have so tarnished this word and abused its true meaning that I hope the American people can see through it. I think they can. And I'm convinced over the next 60 days, the Trump campaign and all of us will do the work to make sure everyone understands this party, the Democrat Party, is about government control, not about individual liberty and freedom.
Secretary Pompeo, as always, thanks for joining us on the broadcast. And folks, again, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You can take action with us and sign and share our petition to end the Biden-Harris administration's humanitarian crisis and protect our borders at aclj.org/sign, S-I-G-N. We have just 10 days until we're back in court, and that's on this case, on this FOIA, 3 years to uncover the migration crisis team. Our team will be working day and night, and you can help support us as we prepare for these fights if you become an ACLJ champion, aclj.org/champions. Again, those are donors who have decided to give monthly to the American Center for Law and Justice. Second half hour coming up. We will take your phone calls too, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to be part of the broadcast today on Seculo, uncovering this information as we've seen years from the Biden-Harris administration refusing to use this term crisis. That's a problem. It's an issue they've got to deal with, but it's not a crisis. It's actually a climate crisis they'll talk about. 1-800-684-3110 to be part of the show. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. Let me just kind of reset for you what the ACLJ has uncovered if you're seeing the headline of today's show and you're just joining us. So we filed this FOIA 3 years ago, April 7th, 2021, more than 3 years ago. We had to go to federal court. It's with U.S. Customs and Border Protection. That's, of course, CBP. That's within the Department of Homeland Security, Secretary Mayorkas. As you know, multiple times has come before Congress, frustrating Congress. It was Senator Ted Cruz, as we played, who asked directly, is there a crisis at the southern border? And he refuses to use the term crisis over and over and over again. He'll say it's a challenge, but not a crisis. When Joe Biden accidentally slipped up and used the word crisis, it was Vice President Harris who came out and said, well, it's a climate crisis that's causing the issues at the border, but it's not a crisis at the border. And it's not an immigration crisis. No crisis. You can't use the term illegal immigrant. You can't talk. Now, she's talking about the border wall now. We'll play some of that later in the broadcast for you because it's interesting. The ads that you're going to start seeing and the truth that needs to get out there. But when we went and we filed the FOIA and we said, you know, this term, what's going on here? Is it really that they don't believe that there is a crisis going on at the southern border? We found out 3 years later, there is a team inside CBP. And their name, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It is the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Migration Crisis Team, which we know at least through 2022, and I'm imagining longer. And listen, I'm not saying this was created by the Biden administration, but the fact is, if you got a migration crisis team, what's the deal with refusing to use the word crisis? Why was that decision made so strongly by this administration? We're going to go before Congress. We're going to let our secretaries, our cabinet members get beat up. Our press secretaries get beat up over this term. We're going to live and die by saying there's not a crisis there. Now, Harris is having to acknowledge that. They've kind of shifted. But this idea that this existed within, and we had to fight for this for 3 years, and they've still will redacted. We don't know who this was going to yet.
That's right. There are two full pages on daily reports of email addresses that have been completely redacted. Part of the problem when you get a FOIA and it takes 3 years is they take that time to redact out as much as possible. And they use exclusions, and that's the codes you see when it's on the screen, like the B6, B7C. Those are different codes for rationale of why they excluded that information from public release. Because under Freedom of Information Act, we are entitled to that information with certain exceptions. So they block the stuff out so we can't see what's going on. But it also gives us an opportunity to, one, fight in court to have those redactions removed. We many times are successful, not at getting everything taken away, but many times we get to see what's underneath it. Once they give us the nugget, it gives us a bigger thing to hook onto and to fight even harder for.
This also had to do with the minors being trafficked, Operation Talon. Remember these some of these programs that were working effectively that we know were actually shut down by the Biden administration. What we don't know yet is if the Biden-Harris administration, first of all, who was aware of these migration crisis teams, daily reports on the border, calling it a crisis, defining it as a crisis, the entire team's definition. Could you imagine if you're on that crisis team and you're inside the federal government and you're sending daily reports into the executive branch, I mean, you're part of the executive branch, and then when they testify under oath to Congress and they're asking, is there a crisis? They can't even just say, yes, this is a crisis at the southern border. We know we got to deal with that. I mean, that's one thing you can't stand about the left on these issues. It's just being honest with the American people. Don't try to gaslight the American people on real issues. You can have different policies. You can say we want to handle it differently, but the idea that it doesn't exist. We want you to support the work of the ACLJ. This is an example. Sometimes these FOIAs, you can uncover information in 24, 48 hours. Sometimes it takes years. It's all important work that we stick with at the American Center for Law and Justice. And we encourage you to support that work today at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
The
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are joined now by our senior advisor, Rick Rennell. And Rick, it seems that when the running mate of Kamala Harris, Governor Tim Walz, goes out and now starts to do interviews on his own, whenever he's confronted with the issue of Israel, it seems like he gets worse. He did a interview by phone with public radio in Michigan, definitely a must-win state, I'd say, for the Harris campaign, and one where they see some real problems when it comes to the Israel issue. And this was a bite I want to play for you and then get your comments on about when he was asked about Israel and Gaza, and he had this to say. Let's go ahead and play bite two.
The Palestinian people have every right to life and liberty themselves. We need to continue, I think, to put the leverage on to make sure we move towards a two-state solution. I think we're at a critical point right now. We need the Netanyahu government to start moving in that direction. But I think those folks who are speaking out loudly in Michigan are speaking out for all the right reasons. It's a humanitarian crisis. It can't stand the way it is.
So when confronted with this question, he decides to say we need to continue to put leverage on Israel towards a two-state solution, and also says that the folks speaking out in Michigan are speaking out for the right reasons. How is this going to play?
Look, I listened to that interview with WCMU, and I have to say that my problems with the interview is that Walz tries to, he mixes up too many of these concepts. And let me make it clear and give you the example. What Tim Walz needs to do when he's talking about what's happening in Israel and Gaza is he needs to make very clear that Hamas, who is currently the leader, the government leader in Gaza, needs to be ousted. They are a terrorist organization, and no American, and certainly no American running for public office, should be trying to blur the lines that somehow Hamas can be a part of the government. He doesn't even say that Hamas should be removed before he moves into a two-state solution. And in fact, what he says is the hostages should be returned, and then the gift of a two-state solution should be given. I think that that's really dangerous rhetoric, because no Westerner is going to support the idea that Hamas gets to continue in leadership, gets to continue being a government, and get rewarded with statehood after what they did on October 7th. Tim Walz does not make it clear. He doesn't even try to go after Hamas as a government organization to say you got to remove them before he starts rewarding them. And it's really troublesome. He did, however, take the opportunity to say that more pressure should be on Netanyahu, not on Hamas, to be removed. And I'll finish with this. Of course, every single sane person in the world wants there to be peace, wants all involved to have prosperity and an ability to have hope for their family and jobs, good paying jobs. We all want that vision. But I don't believe, and most people don't believe, you're going to be able to get that with Hamas in charge. It seems Tim Walz does believe that.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, listen, I think the reality of October 7th, and I remember those first couple of weeks, and we talked about it. Listen, a few allies left on the other side of the aisle knew that there was just a short period of time where Israel would have the world's attention, focus, and, you know, even concern from the world before we'd see the protests, and we'd see even, you know, Hamas flags going down the U.S. streets. We're seeing that again on college campuses. But we were reminded of the brutality of these Islamic terrorist groups. They remind us of the brutality of groups like ISIS that were taken out by the Trump administration, the administration you served in. It was a reminder, again, that these groups are there. They want to harm us, and they want to harm our allies. So when you have somebody like Walz, he goes and he's, as you said, he puts this pressure, like if Netanyahu could snap his fingers or make a policy change today, that there would somehow be peace with Hamas.
Yeah, I think what we keep seeing from the Harris-Walz campaign is a purposeful interchanging of Arabs with Hamas. And look, I've done more than 25 meetings with Arab leaders in Detroit and in Phoenix. And I have to tell you, there's universal agreement that Hamas is not good for the Arab people, that they need to be removed. No Arab is talking about keeping Hamas. Tim Walz, though, is not making that clear. What he's trying to do, because I think he doesn't understand the issue, he's assuming that Arab Americans somehow want Hamas in charge. And that's just not true. He needs to be able to have these meetings. But again, remember, the Walz Harris ticket, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they refused to meet with the Palestinians. They refused to allow the Palestinians to speak at the Democratic convention. They've made clear that they want to continue on with the disastrous Biden policy. I think that it's a symptom of Kamala Harris not understanding the Arabs, not understanding that they reject Hamas mostly.
That's the thing. I want to kind of focus on this, too, because we see the Hamas flag, we see the protests, but we also know that the funding for that is likely coming out of Iran, taking money directly from this administration that's freed up by this administration and sending it right back to the United States to encourage these protests and I think to confuse the American people and maybe even Tim Walz and Harris to make it easier for them to say, oh, look, see, if you happen to support Palestinians and this idea of more Palestinian freedom and more autonomous, that you have to fly the Hamas flag. See, that's what the protesters do. Instead of it being, you know, funded from Iran and just being honest about that. Yet it seems like there's just some issue with this administration, specifically with Biden and Harris, going back to the Obama years as well, trying to gaslight us on issues. It's like if the issue doesn't fit their narrative, they act as if it's not, doesn't exist.
You know, they're making the same issue mistake when it comes to illegal immigration and immigrants. They're trying to pretend like Republicans are anti-immigrant when Republicans are anti-illegal immigrant. We want people to wait in line. Of course we embrace immigration. And to be honest, if you go to a Trump rally, some of the most vocal people in the front row are first and second generation Americans. Immigrants who came to this country legally are celebrated and are voting for Donald Trump. And so the Democrats try to blur this line between illegal immigration and immigration. They do the same thing with Hamas and Arabs. And it's a lack of sophistication. It's a lack of not being able to talk to the Arabs. To be very clear to our audience, this is a sequencing issue. And what we have to do first is get the hostages home, crush Hamas, remove them from any government authority in Gaza, and then I think you will see all sides grow in peace and prosperity. We all agree that there needs to be no war and peace, but I believe, and many Arabs believe too, that there is just not going to be peace if Hamas is in charge of a government, and Tim Walz doesn't understand that.
No, when you have terrorist groups in charge of governments, you're likely not going to have peace. You can see it from the rhetoric. The rhetoric is to kill the Jews. I mean, it's in the Hamas charter. It's in the actions on October 7th, where we're getting close to a year anniversary, and then these hostages have not, still too many hostages that have not gotten home. Rick, as always, we appreciate your insight. And I think, well, you know, Rick brought it up. Without us even having to say anything, it's so many of these issues, immigration, the issues with, it's whether or not they don't understand it or they just ignore the real issue, the problems.
That's right. And stick around if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or even listening on radio, because we're going to play something from a shocking source in the next segment, a news outlet, sometimes called a fake news outlet, but that is bringing up some of the issues that Kamala Harris has with her record on the border. It's kind of surprising. We hope that you'll stick around and watch that. But if you are watching on YouTube Rumble, go ahead and subscribe to the channel and give us a thumbs up on the video. That helps get this information out to more people. And we know that a lot of you that watch daily aren't subscribers. So go ahead and do that. It helps us out a lot. But we'll get into that little tease that I gave you about which fake news outlet is exposing some of the bad record of Kamala Harris in just a few minutes.
You could be surprised. The Biden-Harris administration lies. They continue to be revealed. We've years they claim there's no crisis at the southern border. How many times have we seen Mayorkas go before, painfully before those committees in the U.S. Senate? You know, it's our friend Senator Cruz asking, just, is there a crisis? No, it's a challenge. Why that terminology was an issue when inside now we know, and the ACLJ has just uncovered, there is a migration crisis team at Customs and Border Patrol, which is inside the Department of Homeland Security. Who oversees that? Secretary Mayorkas and his team. And they issued daily reports, we know, through 2022 at least, to the Biden-Harris administration. So what was the problem? What was the issue? It's like the issue with saying, you know what, it's Netanyahu's fault that there's not peace with Hamas. Or that there's not an issue at the border. One after another after another. Blaming different people or redirecting you to the problems that aren't the actual causes. You know, the root causes, as they love to talk about. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Whether you're signing a petition or donating, we need your support today. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. As we always do, we like to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be part of the show. Michael, calling from Washington State. Michael, thanks for hanging on. We want to get to your call right away.
Thank you for taking my call. I just have a comment, something for people to think on. She's been part, BP Harris has been part of this administration through everything. I think people need to ask themselves, you know, a most basic American thing, securing our border and preventing what happens if we don't. Now, given that and everything I've heard today, especially Mr. Pompeo, how is she going to fix, you know, something? How is she going to fix things from administration she was part of and turn around and create jobs and do the things we know should be done, the Republicans and independents? I just don't see it happening.
Well, it is. It's hard to imagine, Will, when, they can't even call out what the problem is. So if it's the immigration crisis, they've got a crisis team inside their own departments, but yet when they're under oath before the U.S. Senate, and you have Senator Cruz, as we played, just saying to Americans, is it a crisis? The idea that they'll fight that so significantly, like that they go to bat for those issues. I mean, they literally, they'll fight that to that's what they're going to hang their political graves on. But now that she's running for president, suddenly we're seeing ads about Kamala Harris being tough on the border and tough on and in support of the border walls and building more border wall.
That's right. And this isn't
trying to take credit.
This is an issue that we knew should be a problem for Kamala Harris. And obviously the way that they are reacting to her record and the Biden administration's record on the border is something they know is a problem. And so they're trying to gaslight the American people and change her record before your eyes in the ads that they're running. And this was an interesting clip. We teased it in the prior segment, but this is a segment on CNN. Yep. With Aaron Burnett and Andrew Kaczynski. He does the K-File. It's investigative reporting. He was
CNN, right?
Definitely not Andrew Kaczynski either. Typically, if we are playing it, it's because look how outrageous this thing that they said
back,
is.
Back, yep.
But what we're now seeing is an extended segment they did on her border record and investigative journalism that CNN has finally done on her record on the border. And we clipped about 2 minutes of it. It's much longer. It's going like wildfire on X right now. But let's go ahead and play that and see how even CNN is criticizing what they may see as a flip-flop. We see our outright lies.
They like it. I don't think they like the fact that she's now saying she wants to build border walls. So this right. is like the left saying, this is outrageous. She's now wants to take credit. She's now supports border wall. Remember, they think that if you support that wall, like Rick has said, like Mike Pompeo said today, you're suddenly a racist. There's something wrong with you. Take a listen and watch.
We found more than 50 of those tweets criticizing the border wall before she used that in her ad. And I want people to take a look at just a few of what she said here. She called it wasteful, useless, a waste of taxpayer money, a vanity wall project, a wasteful border wall, a stupid wall, a medieval vanity project, and an unnecessary wall. And those are really just, I mean, there were more, this was like 10 or like 50. But there was really a lot of this was the common refrain during the campaign. You read that quote where she said it was against everything that not only she stood for, everything America stood for, but and she brought this up a lot. Take a listen to just one instance of that in 2019.
It's the president's vanity project.
His multi-billion dollar vanity project called a wall is nothing more than a distraction from the fact that he actually hasn't focused on working people in America. He contrived a national crisis around his big distraction.
All right, so you go through all of that, you've got all the tweets, and yet all of a sudden in the ads, there's pictures of the wall, mm-hmm. and then you went through to look at that wall. Yeah. Like, what is that specific wall that's in her campaign ads now? And you found something very interesting about this specific portion of the wall.
Yeah, and what's also really remarkable about this is, like, I mean, you heard her talking about it there, Trump's wall in his campaign during his presidency. There was really no greater symbol of Trump's presidency than the wall in the way that Democrats were attacking him over the wall and his restrictive immigration policies. So we looked in that ad, and if you look at it, that exact area of wall is in Sasabe, Arizona, and that is a portion of wall that was actually built by Donald Trump. It was built in an area where there was not previous wall. It was actually pretty controversial when they were building it at the time. So just to see that, and then there are other...
She's using his wall that he built to say, look at what I did.
So, I mean, this is CNN, and I don't think they're doing this work for us, Will, because they love that Kamala Harris has switched and taken this tougher position. But, you know, if they don't really understand the issues, and you're willing to switch this quickly, where you're calling it a vanity project, you're saying that she basically said Donald Trump was trying to gaslight the American people and making up a crisis that was, as we know, they didn't want to use the term crisis. But then when they actually look at the ad, I mean, this is when they get caught and they look absurd, and CNN is the one catching them for it. The actual wall that they showed is a controversial portion of border wall in Arizona built by Donald Trump. Though they will tell us over and over again, how many times they tell you in debates, how many times have they told you before that Donald Trump didn't even build any border wall, that there was no new border wall? And then in their own ads, they're showing miles of brand new border walls. They're not telling you, built by the Trump administration.
Well, and we probably are only going to get one more opportunity at unscripted Kamala Harris next Tuesday. The 10th of September is the ABC debate between her and President Trump. And that I don't really see her doing more interviews, mainly because the most friendly outlet they could find was Dana Bash and CNN to do her interview that we talked about. We covered it last week. But now that CNN has Aaron Burnett and Andrew Kaczynski going that hard against her immigration policy, I don't think that they would even do another interview with CNN at this point. I think that the time for unscripted Kamala Harris with the media is gone, time. But we get one more shot at it, and that is when she faces down Donald Trump.
Listen,
next week.
I mean, she did some, I think, Spanish language interview today, so they could push back and say, well, she did some comedians podcast. It's fine, whatever. We know she's spending most of this week just prepping for the debate, and she's had some success in debates in the past, and sometimes when it's, you know, it's not turned out well at all. What we know is the ACLJ will continue to uncover the Biden-Harris administration lies as we continue, and we're going to continue to reveal them to you. And it doesn't matter if it's a fight that takes a week, 48 hours, or 3 years, as this fight, just to uncover the term crisis being utilized by the Biden-Harris administration on the border issue. They don't just think it's a problem. They know it's a crisis. And now she's trying to take credit for the border wall that they mock us for supporting. They call us racist. They even come right out and say, oh, there was no actual border wall built. In their own ad, the wall that they showed was literally not there until Donald Trump was president. Rick Grenell was acting director of national intelligence. Mike Pompeo was secretary of state. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. And there's two ways to do it. You can help us with our petitions. You go to aclj.org/sign. And let me tell you something, ACLJ champions, those are ACLJ's recurring donors, donors who say, you know what, I will donate this much each month automatically, you know, deducted from my credit card or deducted from my debit card, and I can do that. That's the backbone of the work at the ACLJ. We encourage you to become an ACLJ champion if you can at aclj.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.